break, looking at holiness, and I'm going to be looking at carrying on the series of the early church and the launch of the early church. One of the things as I was preparing for this, because we're going to be looking at Ananias and looking at Saul, is I was reminded of our vision for the church for this year, and one of those vision things is about creating a culture of come as you are. And what we mean by that is where people can come along, they can belong first, they can explore what it means to believe, and then they can become the very best of God intended for them to be. And we're all on that journey, whether we're exploring, whether we're currently believing, understanding what that means for us, or whether we are becoming the best of who we could be. So we're going to be looking at Acts 10, and Rory preached very well to us a couple of months ago about the powerful conversion of Saul, who then later became known as Paul. And I'm going to be looking at it very much from a different perspective, looking at Ananias' role within that. So if we'd like to open up our Bibles, if you've got a church Bible, I did find it and I forgot to write it down. I'm going to say it's 1104. That's what I think it could be. 1103, is that what it is? It's close. It's very close. But I'm going to be reading it from the ESV version just because as I felt like it really spoke to me maybe a little bit more, but it's up on the screen. So let's have a look. So Acts 9, 10 to 19. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me, so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus. Really inspiring stuff. First thing I really want to talk to us about is something actually Andy mentioned, about how God uses ordinary people for extraordinary things. I think the question that for us to think about is, do we believe today? Do we believe that God can use you for extraordinary things? When I first read this, and I was reading about Ananias, my first real question was, who is this guy? Do you know what I mean? I think he appears in the Bible twice. Once in this passage, and a bit later on in Acts when Saul himself is then later recounting what happened. And for me, I was thinking, if I was God, I would probably send my most faithful, perhaps, or the person I think has got the most knowledge, to go and speak to Saul, knowing, obviously, what the purpose and what the plan is for Saul. But I think what God does is he squashes that because he just uses Ananias, which is not an insult to Ananias, but I think it's about changing our view on all the other disciples and all the other apostles, because actually, you know, they were just ordinary men. I mean, some of those 12 were fishermen, and I mean, you know, who just had a single trade and spent time with Jesus, and they were just transformed into doing extraordinary things just through spending time with him. And I guess that then the challenge for us to think about is, here in this church, in this community, and with our faith, do we put an onus, an over responsibility on the likes of our leaders, so likes of Dave, the likes of Mike, to almost be the sole responsibility of this church to push forward the kingdom of God? And I think that's something that God's been working in me to say, actually, Tim, you are part of that, you know. And each one of us is just an ordinary disciple, if we believe, and we can be used for extraordinary purposes. Because when we believe in Jesus and we trust in his goodness and we trust in his faithfulness and we just say, here I am, he can use us. And he will. And he will take us and see us do extraordinary things. But I think there's a few things that I really love about this and about Ananias. And this is really, I guess, as part of this is, I guess, what Vic's been spoken to us about this morning, which is fantastic. Is that if we look at the verses, I would say in verse 10, and it says there, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. All of a sudden, I'm starting thinking that Ananias is seeing a vision. And we know from earlier in Acts, it says that when Peter's preaching to the crowd, he's quoting Joel to say, in the end of the days, the Lord says, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your young men will see visions. That's one of the things that he says. So from us, it's thinking, is he's been filled with the Holy Spirit because he's seeing visions. So that's one thing, is about, here's a guy who is filled with the Holy Spirit. A second part of that is, he recognizes God's voice because he's spending time with God. He can hear God's voice. He understands and can separate, you know, is that Tim when I'm praying, or is that actually God speaking to me? And then what does that mean if it is? There's another story in the Bible about a boy called Samuel and about how God spoke to him three times before someone explained to him that actually that's God. That's God speaking to you. So next time, say, here I am. But straight away, Ananias hears his name and says, here I am, Lord. Because he recognizes God's voice, because he's got relationship and he knows that it's God speaking to him. And another part of it, particularly that I like from the ESV, just in that sort of verse 11, is he says, rise. And for me, I was just then reflecting again, is this a time when Ananias is just spending part of his daily devotion? And maybe he's on his knees, maybe he's just found that quiet moment, that quiet space, and God's saying to him, now get up. You know, I'm giving you something to do. Now get up and go to this place. Rise. And we don't really know much else about Ananias, to be honest. Was he a full-time disciple? I don't know. Did he have more time than other people to pray and maybe spend time? Who knows? Was he a tradesman? Was he a busy man who got up? Was he this? Was he that? But what I do know from reading this is that he was spending time with God. And through that time, he heard God. And he was able to respond and say, yeah, I'm going to go eventually. And we'll look at that. So the first challenge, I guess, is that when as a church, as a community of believers, if we're saying we're all in, you know, we're praying for revival in this area, we want to see God move in this area, the first thing, this first self-reflection thing is, how is your relationship with God personally? I work for Surrey County Council, but that's a good thing or not, depending on the different views. One of the things that we do is we have what we would call a RAG status, red, amber, green. When we're doing a project work, we would look at categorizing all the activities within that and say, is it doing well, green? Is it on track, amber? Or is it not doing so well, red? And when you think about it for yourself, how would you say your personal relationship is with God? Maybe red, maybe amber. Maybe it's really great, and that's really good, and you can hear God's voice, and that's really good. But I guess I want us to be encouraged that when we spend time with God and we hear God's voice, he can then use us for extraordinary things, and that's really exciting. And I just felt that even this weekend, we've been on the, Andy and I were on the leadership conference this weekend for church, and they were talking about breaking down problems. And how do you approach problems and how do you break them down? By looking at the facts and looking at interpretations. And for me, one of the things was, because this is an area that I really, really struggle with, I wrote down my problem was, I'm struggling to make time for God on a daily basis. And actually, as I started looking at the facts and looking at the interpretations, I soon realized that the whole thing shifted. The problem I thought was a problem wasn't a problem at all, but my problem was I don't prioritize God, because I've got time to do everything else. I've got time to look at Facebook and scroll on Facebook. I've got time to be on social media. I've got time to watch my favorite TV program. But then my challenge is, why do I not prioritize? Why am I not feeling encouraged? But it's really important for us to spend time, because God loves it when we spend time with him. And he's got good things for us to be involved in. He wants us to be a part of his plans in Shepparton and beyond. So I just really want us to encourage us first and foremost that we're trying to lay foundations upon foundations when we're looking at discipleship. And the first foundation is that actually, how is your personal relationship with God? From in that place, that's when that growth, that's when that extraordinary stuff can happen, because that's when you're hearing, that's when we can be obedient, and that's when we can go forward. So if you're a believer here, I'd encourage you, like myself, and that's my challenge, make it a priority. Let's make it a priority over the next couple of days. Maybe tomorrow morning, let's make it a priority. Let's build from there. Let's make it a priority the next day about spending some time. I'm not saying you've got to spend an hour. I'm not saying you've got to spend 2 hours. I'm saying start and then see where God takes you. Start somewhere and see where he goes. And if you don't currently believe, you know, there's a whole load of us in here who would say that God's done wonderful things in our lives and that we can see God moving in our lives. And I would really encourage you to, over this next week, if you find a quiet moment, ask this God that we believe, please reveal yourself to me. Please speak to me. And you may find that in a quiet whisper, he reveals something to you, something about his goodness, something about his faithfulness, something about real life, because he is alive and he is here and he is working in this place today. So that's the first thing, is looking at actually when we want to build and build and build and build his kingdom, we've got to take that self-reflection to be like, well, how am I doing? How am I doing? How's my personal relationship with God? Because from that place, then we can explode. The second part, as we look at it, is that sometimes the right thing is quite hard to do. Does anyone else do this? You know, when you go to a dinner party and you turn up, you walk through the door and you sort of say, is there anything I can do to help? And part of you is thinking, please say no. Please say no. I'm quite happy to not do anything. But I feel it's polite and British to say, is there anything I can do to help? And then you have that moment where they say, oh yeah, that'd be great. Could you do this? And then you're thinking, please let it not be hard to do. Do you know what I mean? Please let it, whatever it is, be easy. And the thing is, Ananias could hear God and he could recognize God's voice. And then he was instructed by God. And in that moment, he's kind of like in that place of, do I do it or do I not do it? Am I obedient or am I not obedient? And I can imagine reading through this. We look at verse 11. So the Lord said to him, I'm looking at mine rather than looking down there. So rise and go to the street called Straight. As you're working through, you can imagine Ananias is saying, yep, yeah, that's cool. Can do that. Fine. And then, you know, at the house of Judas, look for a man. Okay, I can look for a man at the house of Judas. Fine. He's from Tarsus. Okay, he's from Tarsus. That's cool. He's called Saul. And he's thinking, why does that ring a bell? And it's that moment of, do you mean Saul from Tarsus? Yeah, Saul from Tarsus. That's who I want you to go and speak to. And he's saying, and then his response as we go through verse 13, Lord, I've heard from many about this man, about how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. And obviously God then tells him to go. But for Ananias, it might be a bit different for us today in terms of who we might go and speak to. But effectively, God was saying to him, I want you to go to the most dangerous man right now if you're a new believer, you're a young Christian. The whole reason Saul's been on his way to Damascus, essentially with letters from the synagogue, is effectively to find people like Ananias, arrest them, take them back, and probably stone him. So if you can imagine that God is asking him, go, speak to this man. Actually, lay your hands on this man. Not walk past the house, shout through a window, Jesus loves you, and then walk off. You know, put your hands on him, and for his sight to be restored to him. So at the moment, again, you could be thinking, as far as Ananias, okay, even if I do that, he's blind. So one, do I have faith that he'll be healed from his blindness? And two, if I lay my hands on him and he isn't, or he is healed from his blindness and he doesn't believe this stuff, he actually sees my face now and I'm actually just there. And it's kind of like, well, great. you just said about Jesus and you just healed me. Fantastic. Well, you're coming with me to Jerusalem. But what Ananias doesn't know, I guess, and we don't see that, you know, God has revealed it to him at this point, is that Jesus actually already met with Saul on the road, which Rory preached to us powerfully about how he actually stood before him and said, why are you persecuting me? All Ananias knows is that there's a guy who's the most dangerous man that he's got to go and see. God's been laying the foundation work in Ananias, in Saul. So actually, by the time he gets there, Saul's already started on that journey of believing. And even like what I really love about the ESV version is just, if you just go back, Mum, to verse 11, he says, God is saying this, for behold, he is praying. Now Saul is a very, very religious man. You know, he's one of the key Pharisees probably within the synagogue. Yet when God's saying, for behold, he's praying, for me that just stirred up something inside me to say, do you know what? He's on his journey. I'm actually surprised, you know, Ananias, don't worry about it. He's praying sincere prayers. He's praying to me through Jesus because he's met with Jesus. But I guess the question for us is today that Ananias was really faithful there. He was really obedient. He was bold and courageous. And I asked this question to the youth a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about that element of come as you are. And I said to them, so consider this for a moment. The one person in life who annoys you most, frustrates you most, apologies if they're sitting next to you, and just imagine them just walking into the back of the church next Sunday. And I won't say what the reaction I sort of got. Perhaps we all sort of know, perhaps inside, about what sort of reaction we got. And for me, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, what would be my response? Because there's a few people I can think of. Would it be one that was met with annoyance? You know, this is my space, in a way. What are you doing here? Would it be one that was like, nonchalant? I don't have to talk to them. It's neither accept them nor reject them. Or would it actually be one that was warm and welcoming? You know, the Bible speaks that we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we're all in need of a Saviour. And I was challenged to think, how do I see past what I see them as and the light that I see people? And how do I see them in the way that God sees them? And God sees them in the sense of that they're his children. So for Saul, yeah, he's doing terrible things. But he's still a child of God and God still loves him. He still needs saving. And we know that in Timothy it speaks about Christ Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. And this was Saul, later known as Paul, saying, of who I am the worst. And you know what? We live in a great age where we have all of this. If you were Ananias, you didn't have this. You didn't have the New Testament, particularly. You would have had the Torah, I guess, the Old Testament. But you'd have been living off stories of Jesus being shared in huddled circles in the underground church. You'd have been living off stories of turning the other cheek, stories of, you know, speaking of the greatest commandment, love thy enemy as thyself. Give your enemy your cloak. The only way is Jesus. He is the truth and the life. And then you have that, and I guess Ananias had this position that he was in, which was, everything I'm believing in, how much do I believe it? Do I go? Do I trust? Do I be faithful? Or do I not? Do I say I don't want to? Saul doesn't need saving. He shouldn't be saved. And actually, all fall short. All are in need. And actually, doing the right thing isn't easy, but what we can do is we can trust in God, and we can trust that if he's asking us to do something, as Vic said earlier, just do it out of love, because we love him so much that we're obedient to him. So we're building and we're building, and we're saying actually personal relationship is really important. Then actually trusting in God, being obedient to God is really important. So if he calls us to go, we say, here I am. Use me. And the next thing we look at is just about discipleship, really, and about how important that is. And if we follow Ananias' story through this, we know that he's heard from God. He recognizes God's voice. He's even wrestled with God. He said to him, God, are you sure? And God's saying, yeah, do it, go. And then he does. He goes, he's obedient. And then he arrives in verse 17 and bang, as I like to say once. So Ananias departed and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, which I really like, by the way. I like the fact that actually he's calls him brother. Do you know what I mean? This is a guy who has done terrible things, and yet he's actually extending him a welcome beyond what he probably deserves. He's saying, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you came has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Do you know how amazing that is? That he actually went, you know, God said to him, that Saul's seen you coming essentially and laying your hands, but actually still having the faith to go and do it, and seeing actually having that faith to, I can lay my hands. And he actually, we don't know if Ananias ever saw another healing, or if he ever was part of trusting God for another healing. But how brilliant is that he got to be part of God's plan with Saul to heal him and to help him be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. And then we go through afterwards, and it sort of says in verse 19 that he spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And if you're a new Christian, or not even if you're a new Christian, you're just a believer, I guess, you've got loads of questions. I've got loads of questions. You come alongside someone, you'll just be like rattling off, bam, 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 bam. I want to know this sort of stuff. And you can imagine Saul probably being very much similar in terms of when you spend those time with, what's this? What about this? What about this? Why does this happen? What's, you know, and actually there's a real part of discipleship, which is about just getting alongside people. And when we say discipleship, what we mean by this is, how do you help people to imitate Christ? That's what we've all been called to, we're disciples of Christ, and how do we help imitate Christ? So we might be praying for people, motivating them to keep going in the faith, possibly about, you know, turning from those struggles of life that we have, whether it's like I spend too much time on social media, something for our culture, or if perhaps I'm looking at the wrong stuff on the internet, or actually I've got a problem with the language that I keep using. You know, those sort of things about coming alongside people and helping them through that, helping them to understand the Holy Spirit. You know, we're all on our own journey. But actually, I start thinking about, well, how many people have helped shape my life, helped shape my early Christian faith? And I wonder if you believe, might want to reflect right now on actually those people that got alongside you, that helped you understand at those very early stages, or continuing to help you understand as I'm still being helped to understand this. And it is brilliant to have so many new faces. If you're a new face, you are most welcome, and we love that you are here, and we love that you're with us. And it's also lovely to see lots of old faces, not old in that sense, but that is also fantastic as well. And we're all here together as one body, exploring what does this mean. I just wanted to remind us about a few prophetic words that we've had as a church. One word was that we'd be like an oak tree that changes the landscape. You know, we're still exploring, I guess, how we're doing that. And actually, there's loads of different things that are happening where we are changing the landscape around us. Another one was that a number of years ago, that we would see revival in Shepparton, and 10% of Shepparton would come along, possibly to worship here, or that we would see revival. Shepparton is about a 12,000 village, perhaps, population-wise. So think about 10% of that, 1,000-ish people would come along. And even last year, last February, we had a word from Adrian Horner and his team that the sluice gates, I don't know how to pronounce that, were opened, and actually people would start flowing in to your church. Andy's just really inspired us about the joy event. I want to come on to that in a moment, but when we think about how's our personal relationship and how are we ready to be called to go where God wants us to go, then it kind of leads us to a challenge of, are we ready? Are we ready as a church family? Are we ready as a community? Are we praying into these prophecies, and are we preparing for them? For Emma and I, we bought a flat in November. And as we were in the run-up to that, we also had our rented flat. And actually, there was a period of time where it looked like we'd have to pay both rent and mortgage, which was going to be a struggle. And we were praying together, we were praying with our home group, but what we felt really challenged by was that we didn't actually take any active steps ourselves. We were praying, which is great, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing that, but are we trusting in God with our prayers? Are we trusting and we taking steps in faith? And do you know what then happened? Basically, like one Sunday, I think, this guy turned up on like a Saturday and then came back on a Sunday without an agent. I don't think that's what's meant to happen, but we were like, perfect. If, you know, sooner you get rid of the place from our point of view. And then the next morning, he said, I want the place and I want it in a couple of weeks. And we weren't ready. Do you know what I mean? We weren't ready. And we felt really convicted together because we were saying that we've been praying for this, but had we been packing any boxes in anticipation? Had we been actually like making ourselves ready for that? The moment it comes in, we can then just go together. It's laughing because Emma's mum was definitely telling us to pack boxes. So, so we've got this joy event coming up, which is, you know, aiming for 5,000 people to be fed. So we're thinking like at least, let's assume that 5,000 people are going to be there, maybe even more, which would be fantastic. These people are going to hear from Andrew Palau about how his life has been dramatically changed by the gospel and by Jesus. And if 100 people from Shepparton responded, you know, from the streets that we all live in, and walked through those doors next Sunday, are we ready? I guess is our challenge. Are we ready for it? Are we up for it? If they would say, I want to know more. And you know what? We can't expect to rely on Dave and Mike as our leaders to be able to get alongside all these new people, all these new believers. We're actually all in this together. And we are all in this together. Paul spoke to the Corinthians, so Saul then later became renamed as Paul. Paul spoke to the Corinthians and he said, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. The one who plants, the one who waters have one purpose. And that, and there's a purpose in getting alongside people to help them grow. God makes things grow inside people. I think, you know, he's the one who's working there, but actually we need to get alongside people. So everything that we've been, when we look at it in terms of building the foundation, firstly it comes from how are we doing personally with God. From there, are we hearing God? Are we ready to respond? And actually, discipleship, we can all do discipleship. If we're a believer, in terms of, we've all got life experience of how God's moved in our lives. And actually, that's just what it's about. It's about getting alongside someone saying, can I pray for you? Can I encourage you? Can I help shape? Do you have any questions? Can we pray through some issues? You know, that's all it is. It's just getting alongside people. And God takes the ordinary people and does extraordinary things through us. So I just would like to get the band back up. I guess just as I'm just sort of wrapping up on it, I just really want to sort of just draw us to to those sort of thoughts. So firstly, you know, God does use ordinary people. I think that's really clear all the way through the Bible that he uses ordinary people for his purposes. And you may be thinking, I'm not gifted in this way, or I'm not like that person, that person's got the gifting. But you know what, it's in our weakness that God makes us strong, and it's in his faithfulness that we can trust. Because actually, if we did it all in our own strength, we just point to ourselves as opposed to pointing to God and his glory. So it's through him and our weakness that he makes us strong and we glorify him. It is so, so important for us to have a relationship with God. So important for us to be challenged, say, how do I, particularly for me, make it a priority to spend time with God, because I feel God wants to move in my life and move in the circles around me. And if I'm not feeding myself, I'm not going to be able to be used. And sometimes you have to be willing to trust in God, trust in his plans, not our own plans. Not trust in what we can see, but trust in what we know that our God can see. And do you know what we can do? We'll see extraordinary things in this church. When we do that, that's what will happen. We will see that. And we'll see God move in this church. We'll see God move in the community around us. And we'll see God shaping us, spurring us on, encouraging us. One thing I've been really challenged by this weekend is not to cap the possibilities of what God can do. Do you know I mean? This is God of the Creator. This is God who created everything. He created the universe. Let's not put limits on what the everlasting Creator can do, because he can make ways where no one saw a way. He can make things come to life where no one thought there'd be growth. and he can allow fruit to grow. So you may have been wondering what these two tables were about. You may not have been, but there's two tables here on the other side. Just draw your attention to those. I guess my question, my real challenge for us this morning is, are we all in together? Do we want to be all in together? And as I was preparing this, I felt God really prompt me to do a response, which was, we're going to have a worship time. But actually, if you feel a bit stirred up around this, if you feel a bit, you know, something in you saying, actually, I can disciple, I'm just an ordinary person, but, and actually, I might not know stuff, but I can just get alongside people and help them. Then what I'd love us to do, just during this time of worship, is just come up, write your name on a card, stick it in the basket either side. Because actually, it serves twofold. One fold is that actually it's a bit of a response to God to say, yeah, God, I'm up for this. I'm up for this. I believe in, I'm trusting in what you're doing in this area. And the second part of it is actually like, it gives our leaders, so Dave and Mike, a useful resource that says, if we're praying in faith that come this joy event or come any sort of thing that we're doing or any sort of prayer for revival, that when people come into this church, we're ready, we're up for it, we're all in. And actually, if you get a phone call that says, hey, there's someone who we think you'd be really great to get alongside, then that's your call. That's, you know, almost from God to say, how are you up for it? You said you were up for it. We'd love you to get involved. We'd love you to get around. And you know what? There is so many good discipleship that's happening in here. And I'm not trying to take away from that at all. But I felt God just wanted to prompt me to say, actually, let's all sign up for it. Let's all be a church who's willing to go together. So if you just feel stirred by that, we're just going to play some worship song. We're going to just respond in a time of worship. Why don't you just come up, put your name in there? Because I'm up for this. So I'm getting my name in there. I'm just going to pray for us quickly, and then we're just going to have a time of worship. Father God, we are so thankful that you love each and every one of us. You love your children. You love those who don't know you yet. You love this place that we all live and we all call home. Father, I pray right now that you will stir up in us a heart and a priority to spend time with you. You'll help us to be obedient to your voice. Help us to go where you say go. Help us not to argue too much about it. Father, I pray that we can all just recognize that we're just ordinary people, and actually it's you who's your king. It's your glory. It's all about you. But we can be used. Father, help encourage us and inspire us that we can do extraordinary things when we trust in you. Father, be with us in this place, in this time of worship. Amen.